acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think I've said a lot of what I wanted to say in my sermon in the time with the children. The story of Dorcas or Tabitha is such a strange story in many ways. This was a woman who got on and did what she knew how to do. But she did it in such a way that she was a blessing to those around her. She used her gifts in ways that helped those who had very little. Notice who it was that was weeping as she died. It was a group of widows. In that time, widows were hugely vulnerable. With no male to care for them, they were often the ones in society who became caught in poverty. But they make it clear. Dorcas had ensured that they were well clothed. And we read that she had done this while she was with them. She had chosen to walk with them in their journeys. She was living out the life that Jesus had called her to. She knew the good shepherd in her life, and she was living it out day by day. And she was living out four aspects that David, all those centuries earlier, had described. Four things that come through again as I've read the text for today. Four aspects of the good shepherd that are very apparent in Psalm 23, but weave them way through Revelation 7 as well. Four things that Jesus tells the Jews gathered at the temple are easy to miss, that for some they are hidden. For those who have not discovered that they belong, they don't recognise the voice of the shepherd. So we're going to go through these four things, these four squares on your little mini quilt. Firstly, God leads us to lie down in green pastures, places of rest, of peace. One of the things expected of us as sheep of the Good Shepherd is that we rest. It's the green section of your little quilt. Green for the green pastures you're being asked to lie down in. Scripture talks about Sabbath. In Lynn Barb's book, Sabbath, The Gift of Rest, she says, "What is the Sabbath? A weekly day of rest and worship, a day to rejoice in abundance, a day to practice thankfulness. A day to slow down, to take a deep breath, to step aside from work and worries and let the world go on without us, knowing that God is caring for everyone and everything. More people of all ages are finding the Sabbath to be a gift from God that brings a renewed awareness of who God is and who we are as God's beloved children. Come and discover God's gift of rest." And then in her other book, Sabbath Keeping, Lynn also says, "While Sabbath keeping is commanded in the Bible, God intends it as a reminder of freedom and abundant life." She suggests that Christians customise their Sabbath. All are called to cease from work, but one person's work could be another person's play. Also, she says, the day for the observance doesn't matter as long as it's consistent. It's about making a Sabbath in our lives. Right from creation, God made it clear that we're to take time for Sabbath rest. That call from God that we make time to rest. To take time to pull back, to simply be, however challenging that may be for some of us. And that will come in all different forms. For me this week, it's been sowing these things. It's my Sabbath. Other people will think that's work. Our society can leave us feeling exhausted as we fill our days with stuff. But as we discover what ways help us to rest, we will also discover joy in God. Revelation 7 speaks of God sheltering the people, offering them a place where they can rest, where they don't have to strive to survive. So green, the square that reminds us to rest. Then there's the second thing David refers to in terms of our shepherd God. God leads us beside quiet waters and refreshes our souls. God gives us living water. The psalmist is emphasising the importance of this refreshing of our deep inner selves through being fed spiritually. So if we're living lives that are too busy for those kind of things, then we're living lives that are too busy. These basics are not only important for our bodies to sleep and eat, they're equally important for our souls. So what does spiritual feeding look like? For me, spiritual feeding is about delving into scripture, about making time for prayer, about small group study, about listening to good teaching, about reading and thinking and talking and living out what it means to follow Jesus. So blue is that square that reminds us to drink deeply and be nourished from the water of life. Thirdly, Psalm 23 tells us that the Good Shepherd walks with us in the darkest valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, those places of shadow where we're scared or sad or lonely or hurting. So in those darkest places that we can imagine, places of evil, places of death, places we fear, places we feel lost and don't know where we're going, those are the places where we can discover that God is there alongside us and we don't need to hold on to the fear. I guess that's why Psalm 23 is so common at funerals, because death can be a scary place. But there are other places that we fear too, and we know that. So whatever our dark valley is, whatever the shadows are that we are currently facing, perhaps to do with the people we love going through their darkness, this doesn't say that there will be no shadow, that there will be no evil, only that we don't need to be fearful in them. That in the midst of the darkness is God. Maybe just a flickering light, but God is present. Verse 4 goes on, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we are comforted in these places that otherwise would be fearful. God goes with us in the places of shadow. And finally, the Good Shepherd prepares for us a table. Here we see the shepherd becomes the host, who gives refuge to the writer who is beset by enemies, a host who offers abundant food and drink. My cup overflows. It speaks of this wonderful abundance. With our exploration of what it means to extend the table here at KPC, I especially love this part of the psalm, the shepherd preparing a table for us. Setting a table is a way of showing respect and provision. And here the shepherd gives to the psalmist all that is needed to be respected in front of his enemy. We no longer are seeing an imagery of a sheep with a shepherd. Sheep don't sit at tables. Sheep aren't anointed with oil. There's this movement from the clueless sheep needing food, comfort, safety and rest to this abundantly laid table for people made in God's image, people capable of meaningful relationships. And I know I can swing between the two. Sometimes I'm more like that mindless sheep, needing to be given the basics of life. While at other times I grow in maturity and responsibility and take a place at the table, even as I face the reality of those who are against me. N.T. Wright speaks about Psalm 23 like this. Many generations of Christians have prayed the psalm in the same way, in the light of the many passages where Jesus picks up the shepherd promise and applies it to himself. In fact, the gospel story is not unlike the picture of the shepherd and the sheep, Jesus leading his disciples around Galilee, teaching them, healing people as he goes. And as the story moves us forward towards the valley of the shadow of death, we look on in awe and wonder as the Good Shepherd goes ahead of us into the darkness, his rod and his staff, two poles of wood, come together in a new pattern, a shape which will etch itself on the heart of the world. We look at the cross and we are comforted. That's why the cross is inside your miniature quilt. Through the cross, in Christ, we know these four aspects of following Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Green, Sabbath rest, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Blue, he leads me beside quiet waters, refreshing us with life-giving water. Black, he walks with us through the shadows, so we need not fear. Brown, he prepares a table, invites us into table fellowship, calls us to the way of hospitality. All in Christ, all through the cross. So be it. Amen. Let's join to